in body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.heritonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest, of course, is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and he's talking about the fact that, and just speculating, that perhaps the powers that be, the power elite, want Obama to be the Democratic candidate because he has so much baggage. Now, ordinarily, of course, if you get into the background of John McCain, he's got an awful lot of baggage too, but they can suppress that because they control the media, and so you're never going to hear that. And up till now, you've heard very little about Obama's association with known communists and working with them very, very closely. In fact, there's a book he wrote about his father, you know, and there he talks over and over again about his relationship with a fellow named Frank. Well, that Frank he's talking about is a well-known communist activist in America, and yet he says over and over again how much influence that man had on Obama. Well, anyway, Dr. Cuddy, you pick up the story.
Sure. And in terms of his professional life, another individual who had a lot of influence on him is the subject that I'm getting to next. When I left off, I was talking about him being a community organizer in Chicago, and one of his friends, not his enemies, Mike Kruglick, said, and this is in the New Republic, certainly not a right-wing expose type of article, that Obama was, quote, the undisputed master of agitation, end quote. Now where does that come from? Well, that's a rather specific notion that you will find in early days, part of the power elite, as I call them. There are several groups, among which are Skull and Bones, then Cecil Rhodes with the Rhodes Scholars, and the Fabian Socialists. One of the mottos of the Fabian Socialists 100 years ago was to agitate. There were a couple of other words in there, too, but agitation was a key means, a psychological means of gaining their objectives. And in the modern sense, modern meaning after their establishment in the 30s and 40s, you had an individual named Saul Alinsky, who was the mentor, more or less, of Obama, at least according to his philosophy. Now, Obama is an individual who is following that method, the Alinsky method. And if you look at Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, there's an acknowledgement right off the bat at the front of the book to Lucifer. And then in there, and I won't go into all the quotes because I've given them in the past, you must rub raw the resentments of a community, you must fan the latent hostilities, that sort of thing. And so that's what Kruglick's referring to, Obama being the master of agitation. Now remember that. I'm going to make one other point, and then I'll combine these two things. And the next thing in the note I give is that he is surrounded by these rather prominent advisors. One of them who is helping him look for a vice presidential running mate is a Richard Danzig. Now, Danzig was Secretary of the Navy under Bill Clinton, but he's also a Rhodes Scholar, former Rockefeller Foundation Fellow, is a law clerk for Rhodes Scholar and Supreme Court Justice Byron White. In other words, this guy is connected. All right, now, what's the connection between these two? What you have to remember is this is part of a psychological operation, sort of a psyops going on. In terms of Rhodes Scholars, another advisor is Wesley Clark to Obama. A few days ago, two, 3 days ago, Wesley Clark, not by accident, makes this pronouncement how McCain is nothing. You know, so what? He's an Air Force pilot. He drops some bombs. Big deal. That doesn't qualify him for anything. All right. Now, you combine that with this agitation that Obama is the master of agitation, and Saul Alinsky and rub raw the resentments and so forth. All right. In terms of McCain, the psychology is let's try and set this guy off. Let's either make him appear wimpish, not defend himself, or let's make him fly off the handle. He's known for his temper, you know, maybe we can get him to look like a raving maniac. And who's doing this? A Rhodes Scholar, Wesley Clark. Now, what's also going on is what the public's reaction to this is. Think of this. 50 years ago, if some guy had made that kind of reference to the Air Force, he would have been pilloried all over the place. You would have had the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You would have had not only Air Force pilots from, you know, 50 years ago yelling for this guy's head, but also people in the Army. And Marines would have you know, yelled and screamed, said, look, you know, without Air Force, airplane, it wasn't technically Air Force, but it's air cover during World War II or Korea or Vietnam, whatever, our troops on the ground, our members of the infantry, our Marines would have been slaughtered. So one can't just, you know, insult or dismiss Air Force people without getting a very, very, very strong reaction from the public at large. However, that hasn't happened. So this is not only a psychological operation here regarding McCain and his response. It's to test the American public. How willing are you to defend the military? What is your attitude toward the military compared to the attitude 50 years ago? Can you literally insult people in the Air Force and get away with it? That sort of thing. So this is a psychological operation that also involves the public. Now, because he's getting advice from Wesley Clark, this is Obama, and Danzig, and a whole lot of these others, holdovers from the Clinton administration, you can't really say he has this great theme of change. And what you note is that the public has a very short attention span, not much of a very long memory. And so what I put next is the campaign ad, or a campaign ad, for Jimmy Carter in 1976. And I actually put the quote, the words, in the quote, here's the ad. In the beginning, Jimmy Carter's campaign was a lonely one, but through the months, more and more people, so forth and so on. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it ends with, he's a leader for a change. In other words, the emphasis is on change. Now, if you stop and think about that, what kind of change did Jimmy Carter bring to us? Look what happened with the hostages in Iran. Look at the, you know, stagflation and all kinds of horrible, quote, change. But apparently the public isn't remembering that, and they can't really say what change he's going to bring about. For example, a lot of people who are familiar with the Genesis Network are very savvy about politics. They keep up with the issues. But if I ask most people listening, okay, what specific change would Obama bring about in, say, policy towards Iran or any other subjects, all they could give me is some general thing. They don't know specifically what Obama would do if Iran did X, Y, or Z. And the press isn't pushing for this. And so what they've done is pretty much numbed the public in terms of what you're, in general, and as I said, I'm not referring necessarily specifically to the to the listeners of this program, but the American public, what they're willing to put up with. And so what I say is that, just as Dr. Stan said, there's a certain amount of baggage he has. It could be that this is a setup for John McCain to win, and I put then some quotations about him regarding the Security and Prosperity Partnership, because these people pick up on hints that are given by candidates to show whether they should be supported or not. And so then I put the quote here that John McCain gave at the Economic Club of Toronto, and I give the specific words he used, like the security and prosperity of North America. We need an integration of our economies. We have a shared destiny, and so on. Now, what could happen is they may be setting up Obama so that McCain would win, but the purpose is not just so that it would establish some sort of dynasty with McCain, but they know what's coming. There's going to be a really bad economic future for the next 4 years. We haven't even seen the worst of it. That would allow McCain to be just a one-term president, at the end of which they could bring back Hillary. Maybe that's why Hillary is taking this so well, in addition to having her debt paid off. And then as a final part of this note, I talk about the recent, quote, success story of Basra in Iraq. Not Baghdad, but Basra. And remember, that's where the British were mainly. And Cecil Rhodes and his allies, his kindergarten, Milner's kindergarten, following Rhodes' plan, implementing it, were British. And that's where they were. And so Basra is critical because H.G. Wells, in his book The Shape of Things to Come, not only was predicting the Second World War, this was 1933 he was doing it, but said that it would be out of Basra where there would be a global conference to establish a world government. So Basra is critical to this, not just in terms of Iraq, but in terms of the global plan, and that's where I conclude this note.
Well, I think it's fascinating as we look and see what's unfolding, and we realize, of course, this is all staged. I mean,
right.
Where are these millions of dollars coming from? Hillary Clinton spent over $210 or $220 million on her unsuccessful bid for the presidency. Now, was she getting that from the average little guy out here with $10, $20, $100 at a time? Of course not. These are the establishment, and they're the ones that fund both sides in these elections to give you this spectacle where you really think, of course, that we're electing our president. No. Presidents and the candidates are chosen by the elite, and then they run them on both political party tickets, and then we vote for the candidate of their choice. And until people understand that, and as Dr. Cuddy certainly brings out in his article, Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, laid this out very, very clearly in his book, you know, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, a book that was suppressed for many years, but on pages 1247 and 1248, he makes it very clear that what we really need are two political parties, essentially the same, so that we can vote the rascals out. That was his word. Vote the rascals out every 4 years, but nothing will change. And when are the American people going to understand? They don't intend to give us an opportunity to change anything, because, of course, they have an objective. They're using America's military and financial power to bring about this one world government. And, of course, until we understand, until the American people are willing to break the tradition and vote for independent candidates, both, you know, for the Congress, for the Senate, and certainly for the presidency, nothing's going to change. And we have a couple of pretty good candidates still running. We have Chuck Baldwin on the Constitution Party, and I would recommend him to our listeners. At least look and see what he has to say. We'll be right back. Dennis Cuddy. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest today, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we're talking about, of course, why it seems that the establishment was pushing Obama. We're, of course, talking about where the money comes from. We're talking about the myth of the two-party system, and it is a myth, ladies and gentlemen. Where was the last time you heard any either of the candidates talking against globalism? Neither one of them do. Both of them are dedicated to the destruction of our sovereignty. The World Trade Organization, global trade, all of these things are aimed at destroying the sovereignty of our nation. I mean, certainly, Obama says he wants to talk to the Iranians, and of course, McCain says that he'll do what's ever necessary to bring them under control, but no, neither side are saying that, well, what business is it of theirs, what the Iranians are doing? I mean, certainly, our own intelligence agencies have said they're not trying to build a nuclear bomb. And certainly, since China has a nuclear bomb, why don't we go to war with China? Why don't we go to war with North Korea? They've actually threatened the United States. Certainly, India has a nuclear bomb. Why don't we go to war with them? Or with Pakistan? Why are we so intent upon going to war with Iran? And why doesn't anybody in, you know, either political party talk about the absurdity of what's going on, or certainly the effort of the Federal Reserve System to destroy the value of our currency and certainly destroy our economy? And this whole idea of globalism is basically undermining the very fabric of America. And, of course, I see no way that this is going to be corrected unless, of course, the American people understand that there's an organized, orchestrated effort to send the wealth of this country to other countries. And if you doubt that, you need to get the Earth Charter and read point 10A that talks about equitable distribution of wealth between nations. Equitable distribution of wealth. Are we going to share Mexico's wealth? Of course not. We're going to share America's wealth with the rest of the world, and neither candidate, neither Democrat or Republican, will speak out against that plan. Go right ahead, Dr. Cuddy.
Sure. And the power elite, as I call them, really don't care what people, candidates, say. it's a matter of what they do. I'll give a couple of examples. As Dr. Stan mentioned, Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, he was very specific about you ought to be able to kick the rascals out without having any great change in terms of the overall objectives of the power elite. And also I mentioned another group, Skull and Bones. William Whitney in the late 1800s also had a plan that hooked up with this, whereby they would finance both major political parties and then alternate power, so the stupid public thinks it has a choice when it really doesn't. But you have to psychologically condition them, the public, to go along with this, to be numb, to not be so stupid as to say, to not say, well, what kind of change are you talking about regarding Iran or, you know, whatever it is? And then you think you have a choice, but you really don't. In terms of recently, for example, they don't mind that George W. Bush says, I'm against abortion, I'm a real conservative, and so forth. But they want, what they don't want is somebody who will actually institute that policy globally, in the sense of Bush's funding, you know, pretty substantially aid for international development, these international groups which are promoting abortion all over the world. And George W. Bush, despite his, you know, waving the flag and so forth, is a globalist. So in terms of his actions, he really isn't doing that much to end abortion, and he's pursuing this globalist agenda and actually funding abortion around the world. So they don't care what George Bush or whoever it is says, as long as they pursue this globalist agenda, which is what they're primarily interested in. But as I said, this is all, these campaigns are all part of a psychological operation that probes the American public. What are they willing to put up with? What are they willing to question or not question? Are they going to get upset over the results of globalization or whatever it is? Or a candidate saying one thing and then doing another? Are they going to hold him responsible or not? So these are all probes. And so what I do here is, after I mention Quigley and William Whitney with the Skull and Bones, I go back 100 years. It's a nice place to start. And the first Skull and Bones member to be elected president was William Howard Taft. And he's a Republican, and his Democrat is William Jennings Bryan. Now, you would think that these people are, you know, opposite poles from each other, and it's a vigorous campaign and so forth. And there was a lot of talk in terms of rhetoric, you know, I stand for this and he stands for that, you know, just like today. But the point is, the Skull and Bones outlook and Taft were pretty well set and acceptable to the power elite. And the opponent, despite some, you know, rhetoric as to differences, he was also acceptable in terms of their globalist agenda, because he promised tariff reduction instead of maintaining a high tariff as we'd done for the previous 100 or plus years, and he favored beginning an income tax. Now, that was two critical points. We want this sort of free trade globalism, and we want to have an income.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you ever suffered from Giardia, food poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, arthritis, fatigue, or high cholesterol? Maybe you're one of the 75 million Americans that the Center for Disease Control reports is suffering from internal parasites. If so, Freshwater Organics is proud to introduce you to a million-year-old miracle that has been used all over the world by health-conscious individuals seeking alternatives to chemicals and drugs. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, is a 100% natural organic product with absolutely no additives. When taken daily, it is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Many believe it is a key to a healthy digestive tract. To find an FPP distributor near you, or to buy it now online, go to www.freshwaterorganics.com. You can also call toll-free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Warning! The EPA states indoor air pollution is the number one health problem today, causing 50% of all illnesses. Go to germfree33.com. Technology developed for NASA is now available to protect your family and health. Laboratory proven to eliminate 99.9% of deadly MRSA, black mold, E. coli, bird flu, and more from all surfaces. Germfree33.com. Remove pollen, mold, pet dander, dust mites, and more from the air. Germfree33.com. World's best air purifiers. Nothing else compares. Germfree33.com. No expensive filters to replace. Covers 3,000 square feet. See the proof at germfree33.com. Order from our secure website. Credit cards accepted. Order by phone 800-492-1073. Payment plans available. 800-492-1073. Germfree33.com. The world's best air purifiers.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a two-pack for only $99 or a four-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, talking about the myth of the two-party system, one of the greatest scams ever put over, and of course what they want the American people to believe if we really have a choice. Certainly in other countries, they understand that the democratic process is a fraud, but here we're told why, of course, we're a democracy and we vote and we get the candidate of our choice. No, ladies and gentlemen, we get the candidate of their choice. Go right ahead, Dennis.
Okay. Well, in 1912, of course, it's time for an alternation of power. And so when the Skull and Bones candidate Taft ran again, he was defeated, this time by Democrat Woodrow Wilson. Now, Wilson was important because he was a puppet of the power elite, managed by Colonel Edward M. House. And you have to appreciate that House was not only an agent that would see to it that the Federal Reserve was established. In fact, in his private letters, there's a letter that he sends to one of the power elite members saying, don't worry, you know, I've got Wilson under control, and he's going to push for this. But also in terms of the overall objective of socialism. Remember that the power elite's ultimate objective is a world socialist government, so you have to move the American economy and the public towards a socialism so it would be more amenable to them, so they would be more willing to go along with this ultimate globalist vision. And House himself said it was socialism as dreamed of by Karl Marx. And I think the Secretary of the Interior for Wilson, his name was Lane, his last name was Lane, said during the second administration of Wilson, he said everything that book talks about is coming true under Woodrow Wilson.
This is the book Philip Drew Administrator, right, that Colonel House had written, right?
Right, Philip Drew Administrator in 1912 is under a pseudonym, but later on everybody, you know, knew that he had authored it. So anyway, Wilson then is up for re-election in 1916 with the theme, he kept us out of war. Now, that on the face of it is a lie. It was true, but only technically. They had already made plans for our involvement. In fact, the Germans were sort of set up. You know, if they do this, then we will come in on the side of Britain and the Allies, and then we set them up to do exactly that. And it had been discussed among the power elite, as I mentioned, Cecil Rhodes, one of his circle of initiates member, you would have as a Lord Escher, and he had a talk, and I have the pages from his diary with Henry Morgenthau, who was a primary financial backer of Wilson. They were talking about, well, we need to shed American blood as soon as possible to get the Americans into this war. Wilson needs to be steadied. That's the term that they used.
And so, they were going to steady him by killing American soldiers, having them killed in battlefield.
Yeah.
And Morgenthau is talking about the importance of of killing American soldiers. And so it wasn't that also Lord Escher talking about that, the Englishman, part of a Cecil Rhodes' original secret society.
Right. Escher was part of that initial secret society. Reginald Balliol Brett was his name. In fact, he was one of the top members of the Circle of Initiates, and he was having a chat with Henry Morgenthau, and they understood and agreed and so forth. And this was in Escher's diary. Now, sometimes what you'll find in these elections are two rather strong candidates whom the power elite can accept either way. The Democrat has certain globalist agendas they like, or the Republican has certain globalist agenda they like. Sometimes, however, and this is one of these cases in 1916, where they actually pick somebody to lose. In other words, they guarantee that you'll have a candidate in that year, like Charles Evans Hughes, who was guaranteed to lose because he failed to renounce the support from German American and Irish American groups who had been critical of Wilson's pro-British policies. You'll see the same thing happens in 1940 with Wendell Willkie. They set him up. I mean, he comes out of nowhere. You know, he's not really a Republican as such. And all of the traditional Republicans then are campaigning and say, where's this guy come from? Well, anyway, J.P. Morgan and those fellows sort of brought him up and funded him so that he would be the candidate so he could lose. Right after the election, he goes on these missions for FDR and writes this book, One World, you know, for one world government. So he's a willing participant in this, very much like in 2004 John Kerry. You know, John Kerry's in there to lose. As a skull and bones member, he doesn't challenge the Ohio results or anything. You know, that's his job, just be in there to reassure Bush's re-election.
I think people ought to know about Wendell Willkie. He was actually a registered Democrat until a couple of months before he had to register, you know, to run for the presidency as a Republican. He was a lifelong Democrat. So,
right.
I mean, it's the whole thing is such a game, such a fraud. But the average American is never told these things and doesn't understand how the president is elected and who elects him. We don't elect him. We don't pick him. He is picked by the power elite, and then we vote for the candidate of their choice.
That's right. And in 1920, you have another example of one of their techniques. They will understand that Americans like patriotism, and so they will pick somebody like Warren Harding, who's made, I have a copy of his speech. It's a wonderful speech, very pro-American speech he made, elected president. But what they do then is they surround him with people. In this case, the party bosses pretty much controlled Harding. They told him what to do and when to jump and all that stuff. And the party bosses are owned, in this case, by the power elite. And then they'll have an opponent for him, James Cox in this instance, who is acceptable to the power elite because he supported the covenant of the League of Nations, which is one of the power elite's main goals. And so, you know, what you have is this process moving forward. In 1924, you have Silent Cal, Calvin Coolidge, you know, down to earth, steady, true blue American type. But why would somebody like that be acceptable to the power elite? Well, if you actually look at what he proposed, he advocated a world court, arms limitation, international cooperation to maintain peace, and his opponent, so called. His name was John Davis. He was acceptable to the power elite because he advocated disarmament in the League of Nations. So in the areas that the power elite is really concerned about, whether it's a Federal Reserve to get the country in debt or this movement towards a one-world globalist body, League of Nations, UN, whatever, you have this non-choice here, even though they portray themselves as, you know, vigorous enemies of each other. So the next election was in 1928. And in that case, you had Herbert Hoover elected because he basically said, I will continue Coolidge's foreign policy. And his opponent, Al Smith, he was acceptable because one of his proteges was FDR. Hoover was, even though he was acceptable to them, he was defeated because, you remember, you have to have this alternation of power. So he's defeated in 1932 by Franklin Roosevelt, who was greatly influenced and himself surrounded by Council on Foreign Relations members. And we know that these people know what's going on because Dr. Stan has this letter, November 21, 1933, where FDR wrote to that Colonel House, Wilson's chief advisor, saying they both knew that the power elite owned the U.S., not just influenced it, they owned the U.S. He said a financial element in our larger centers has owned the U.S., the United States, ever since the U.S. government, ever since the days of Andrew Jackson. So these people know what's going on. They're either members of the power elite or they're puppets of them or whatever, or they're set up to lose, as I mentioned. Now, why is he writing House? Well, House and the rest of these people want to promote, as I said, socialism. And so that's why FDR was important to have in place, because he would have this New Deal that he would put into place the Agriculture Administration Act, the Public Works Administration, all of these socialist programs. And if you doubt that, if you look at what Al Smith said, whom I mentioned earlier, Smith had originally supported him in 1932. And in 1936, I put a quote in my books where Al Smith is saying, look, if you lay down the Democrat FDR's platform on one hand, and then right next to it put the socialist platform, he said, and you picked up the platform that most accurately described what had happened the last 4 years, 33 to 36, you pick up the socialist platform. And so in this case, that's what's going forward in 36. FDR wins re-election. His opponent, Alf Landon, the perennial candidate for a while, proposed no alternatives to FDR's socialist programs. And so, either way, it didn't matter. So they would continue FDR in, for the next 4 years. As Dr. Stan mentioned, in 1940, what you have is this Democrat, Wendell Willkie, being chosen by J.P. Morgan interests, Lord Lothian of Cecil Rhodes Secret Society, the Power League people, to run against FDR. Why? To assure his reelection, in other words, to lose. And as I indicated, right after the election, Willkie goes on some missions overseas for FDR and writes this book called One World, Advocating a World Government. And now FDR is getting a little older now, but in 1944 they wanted him, persuaded him to run again. And this was important to have this type of continuation. He had developed a relationship with Uncle Joe Stalin. And so in this secret meeting, which you didn't hear and still don't hear the press talking about, in 1943 in Tehran, what happened was he agreed with Stalin that he, FDR, would allow the Soviets to take over Poland and Latvia and Lithuania and all these, and Estonia and these countries after World War II. But he said, shh, keep this quiet, because there's a lot of Polish Americans and others in the U.S. who will vote in the election of 1944, so you need to keep this deal secret so they won't vote against me. And what do we do with FDR? We sing his praises today, the public does. We build a monument to him. Despite things like this, I mean, think of all the horrible things that the Poles and others went through after World War II. And FDR's opponent in that year is Thomas Dewey. Now, he was acceptable because, like FDR, he also was a supporter of the UN and these globalist entities. Now, what happened afterwards, FDR dies. He's succeeded by Harry Truman, who in 1948 is elected president in his own right. Most people say, oh, look, true blue, Truman, you know, from Missouri, bedrock American and so forth. Well, no, not actually. He was a big supporter of world government. I put in some of my books speeches that he would give, I think, in Kansas and others, saying, if we can live together as many states in one nation, why not many nations in one world? And he carries around in his pocket all the time this poem by Lord Tennyson, Locksley Hall, talking about a federation of the world, a parliament of man, and things like that. And so this made him obviously acceptable to the Power League. And his opponent in 48 was once again Thomas Dewey, whom I just mentioned. Now, in 1952, again, you have this, you know, supposedly great military general, Dwight Eisenhower. You know, my, this must be a really patriotic fellow. Well, if you look at it, the year before the campaign of 52, in the Chicago Tribune, July 24th of 51, he's advocating a global flag. You know, maybe we ought to unite these armies under this global flag. And his opponent is CFR member Adlai Stevenson, who wanted to continue FDR's New Deal program, so he's acceptable. Ike, as he was called, was reelected in 56, even though later he would support a federal Atlantic Union. By federal, that doesn't mean just some trade relationships with Europe. That means a federal government where we would be subsumed into this larger entity, which would include us and the other side of the other side of the ocean, an Atlantic Union of European nations and the U.S. He also, I have a quote by him, urging that we have an international school, quote, purged of national bias. So once again, he's acceptable. His opponent, again, is Adlai Stevenson in 56. Next, you have, in 1960, John F. Kennedy. He's a globalist. He advocated complete disarmament. He said we should defer to a new UN peace force. His opponent, Richard Nixon, supposedly a true blue American, you know, conservative, he was a globalist. and a CFR member. He had supported early on in his congressional days as a congressman back in 47, a federal Atlantic Union. He would also support a resolution in 47 that the UN, the United Nations, would enact, interpret, and enforce world law. So this is not an individual who's diametrically opposed to John F. Kennedy. They're very similar in their globalist notions. In 1964, Lyndon Johnson, of course, wins the presidency, expanding the power elite's no-win war deliberately, just like Korea, no-win war in Vietnam, the purpose of which was to diminish patriotic values among young American young adults. There was even a poll by Daniel Yankelovich that showed patriotism as an important value among young American adults. It dropped only 25% toward the end of the Vietnam War, so they were accomplishing that objective. And what happened was a somewhat rare exception, Barry Goldwater, was his opponent. But whenever that happens, what you generally find is the power elite uses his media allies to engage in this big smear campaign. And so you may remember, if you're old enough, this advertisement on TV where this little girl is picking this little flower in a field, and all of a sudden this nuclear blast goes off and obliterates her. And so the idea was, if you elect Barry Goldwater, you'll all die in a nuclear holocaust. And so Goldwater loses in 68. What happens is Nixon runs against Hubert Humphrey, who had supported the policies of LBJ as a loyal vice president. And Nixon, it was his turn, because he was very, very much a globalist. He had written just before the 68 election in Foreign Affairs, the CFR's publication, of nations, that's plural, nations' disposition, quote, to evolve regional approaches to development needs and to the evolution of a new world order. So he was using that long before George H.W. Bush did. And this regional approaches was a key element of Cecil Rhodes' secret society's plan to take the government of the world. Now, he also, not just in international outlook, but also in domestic outlook, he told in a report to Rhodes Scholar reporter Howard K. Smith that he, Nixon, was a Keynesian in economics. Now, Keynes, John Maynard Keynes, was the architect of modern British socialism. So here he is admitting to Howard Smith that he's basically a socialist when it comes to economics. As I said, Hubert Humphrey was acceptable because he had supported LBJ's policies. In 72, once again, the re-election of Nixon was assured by having George McGovern and his anti-war extreme views presented, so that the public would reject. He had a whiny voice and so forth. So the public comes along, and Nixon says, I have a secret plan to win the war, and it's proceeding, and so on. Now, why would the power elite want Nixon reelected? Well, that was important because what they wanted to do was open the door to communist China. And so you had ping-pong diplomacy set up by CFR member Henry Kissinger. Along that line, he was Secretary of State at the time, and also a national security advisor to Nixon. And so he opened the door to China. Nixon went along with that. You know, Nixon, the big anti-communist, was here opening the door to communist China at the time. And in 76, you had once again this alternation of power needed. So you bring in Jimmy Carter, the Democrat. His opponent was Gerald Ford, who ran a, you know, lackluster campaign, didn't think the Polish people were dominated by the Soviets, and all kinds of nonsense.
We're out of time, Dennis. I want to thank you so very much, and I hope people will go to your website at newsreviews.com. God bless.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Imagine walking down the street and hearing footsteps behind you. They get closer and closer, and suddenly you have a sense something bad is going to happen. What are you going to do to defend yourself? TiboTech specializes in non-lethal self-defense products for you and your family. With everything from stun guns and tasers to personal alarms and pepper spray, TiboTech will arm you with the most advanced non-lethal products anywhere on the net. Not sure where to start? The TiboTech Essentials package is great for you or to share with your family. It comes with a 950,000-volt cell phone stun gun, a multi-pack of pepper sprays, an extremely loud personal alarm, and a how-to book for defending yourself with pepper spray, all at a low price. With these or any of TiboTech's products, you have the tools to defend yourself against an attack and get yourself to safety. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. Stock up now. TiboTech.com. That's TiboTech.com.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that our ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us and you agree with me that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, why, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV, or if you doubt that there is a conspiracy out there, I suggest you go up on the Internet and go to Lindsay Williams' website. You'll find it's come down. It's not available any longer. Then go on to Amazon.com and try to buy a copy of his book, The Energy Non-Crisis. You'll find out, well, over the weekend there was one copy available for $1,999, but that's down now. There are no other copies, at least there weren't earlier today when we checked. In other words, somebody is actively suppressing that book. Why? Because they don't want you to understand that this, what's happening with the price of oil and gasoline is all a scam. It's all manipulated. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know, and they don't want you to read Lindsay's book. Well, let me suggest that we have a four-tape set with interviews with Lindsay Williams, and it's called The Oil Deception. That's The Oil Deception, four-tape or four-CD set. And then we have a great new DVD, just got it finished yesterday. It's a talk that Lindsay gave, and we call it The Energy Non-Crisis. The Energy Non-Crisis, and you'll find it very professionally done, very well done. And both of these items are available from Radio Liberty by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like more information, go to my website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And certainly, you can pull down my September and October 2005 newsletters, which I think summarize fairly well the truth about this greatest scam, but of course it's going to end up destroying the economy of our country. And that's exactly what they're in the process of doing. They know what they're doing. They want to destroy the economy of our country, and they want to impoverish the American people. And of course, there'll be more willing slaves under those circumstances. We're dealing with truly evil people, because behind them are powerful spirits or forces. And if you haven't heard my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, you can either get the DVD or the book, and we hope you will get both. You can get the Brotherhood of Darkness, a special with the book, a tape or CD, and then, of course, the DVD. And then, of course, we hope you'll want to get our talk on the Forbidden Secret, because it all overlaps. There is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years through the mystery religions and secret societies. And, well, of course, that's the story of the Forbidden Secret, and there's a syllabus that goes with that, so you can begin to understand some of President Bush's speeches when he talks about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and of course, directs the storm. The angel who rides in the whirlwind. Who is he talking about? What's this angel? He used that phrase not once, but twice in his first inaugural speech. And the second inaugural speech he talked about when our founding fathers declared the new order of the ages. They were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What was he talking about? Our founding fathers declared a new order of the ages and acting on an ancient hope. What's this ancient hope? Does that have anything to do with the Bible? No, ladies and gentlemen, it has nothing to do with the Bible. This has to do with the other side. And what you must understand is there are other gods out there. And, of course, you really need to understand Gnosticism. You need to understand how the Rosicrucians and the Gnostics and all of these organizations fit in together. We do hope that many of you, of course, will want to go to our website and read about the Georgia Guidestones, probably set up by the Gnostics, if not by the Gnostics, by another secret society. Learn about, there really are all sorts of secret societies out there, and you need to find out about them, and then you need to help us get the information out, because they're powerful spiritual forces at work. If you'd like a copy of the Luciferian publication of the Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. If you get some of the other items, we'll be glad to get them for you. Our number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is under attack today.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning.